This is a My Talk Dirt Alert. Everything you need to know from the world of entertainment and pop culture. Heard at the top of every hour on My Talk 107.1.
And what have you learned?
I wanted to mention in local entertainment news, we learned this morning that Peter Ostrushko died. He played with Bob Dylan. He played with Willie Nelson. He played on Garrison Keillor's radio show. He played with the Minnesota Orchestra. He was 67. He had a stroke a couple years ago and died Wednesday of heart failure. Peter Ostrushko. Okay. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard all about the story about how a bunch of Minneapolis guys ended up playing on Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks album back in 75, but he was one of them, and that's a pretty great story and a pretty great album. Some news from the toy maker Hasbro today. You probably heard that they've decided to make Mr. Potato Head gender free.
Yes, they saw that.
It's just now Potato Head.
Hey, Potato Head.
But they also announced that at Legoland in Florida, there's going to be a Peppa Pig theme park, and they announced a My Little Pony movie heading to Netflix next year.
And a
Transformers animated series coming to Nickelodeon. So Hasbro getting busy today.
I guess. All I can say is they're leaving a hole in the mermaid unicorn market. That is a very popular,
yes, it is.
You know, thing.
No, but Awkwafina is making the movie The Mermaid right now.
Oh, they're
redoing it.
Yeah.
Also, we saw some news today in the Daily Mail that Emma Watson of Harry Potter fame is stepping away from acting and won't be taking on any new projects for the foreseeable future. People might have noticed there was trouble in paradise when she didn't go on the media tour with her castmates last year for Little Women.
What's up with that?
Nobody quite knows.
Isn't she a UN ambassador? And I think she might be getting more involved with social justice. Okay. You know, she might not need to work, and maybe
she's
been acting since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And she probably made a lot of Harry Potter money, and supposedly she wants to hang out with her boyfriend. So
that was such a slog of a movie, that Little Women version.
Oh, I never saw it.
Yeah,
that sounded horrible.
It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't
not worth. It gets the Lori thumb down.
Well,
thumbs down.
I'd say give it a sideways thumb. Yeah. There's a better. I like the Winona Ryder Little Women version.
Well, you know? Emma Watson retired from acting at the moment. All right, that's all. We're gonna have a bigger dirt alert in about 20 minutes with Elizabeth Reese. But let's start the third and final hour of the show.
Thanks for alerting us. My Talk Dirt Alerts at the top of every hour and at 8:20, 12:20, and 5:20 on My Talk 107.1.
Final hour of the Thursday, February 25th show of the Lori and Julie Show. I'm Rocco, and a lot of people don't know that I run the conservatorship for Lori and Julia. And
that's funny.
That was funny, Rocco.
Yes, thank you. I thought that might be a segue into our next topic, but
you do. You're newly appointed, and be careful what you wish for, Rocco.
I know.
That's right.
I don't let you guys touch any of the money.
That is very true.
Or any of the chocolate macadamia treats that Lori brought me back from Hawaii.
She did.
Keep your hands off.
I know. Okay.
There's only one left.
So, Julia, you completely forgot to watch GMA this morning and watch Britney Spears' dad's attorney sit down with Amy Robach and appeared on it. But the interesting thing is this is the attorney, Vivian Thorine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like looking at her and I'm like, we know her because she was on Framing Britney Spears, weighing in just as a California attorney and someone who'd worked with Jamie Spears in the past, but no longer at the time of filming, involved with the case, and she's the one who made the bombshell claim. I've never seen a conservatorship go back in favor of the person.
Maybe
15 years. So shortly after they filmed that Framing Britney Spears documentary, and this attorney, Vivian Thorine, went back to work for Jamie Spears.
Oh, she did. Okay. And this is who spoke out to Good Morning America.
This is the attorney who defended, you know, Jamie Spears. And she's a partner in this law firm called the Holland and Knight. And she's a litigator and a trial attorney. And her specialties are estate, conservatorship, and guardianship matters. But she was speaking, like, for that documentary as a general expert. But yet she is somebody that... Was,
at the time when she was speaking, Lori, was she employed by the dad?
No.
Okay, so he picked her up afterwards.
But she'd worked with him since 2008.
Okay.
Okay. And then at some point, several years later, quit. And all these noted in the documentary, shortly after filming this interview, Vivian rejoined the conservatorship team representing Jamie Spears.
Hmm.
Just an interesting twist of the story that makes you raise all of your eyebrows.
Absolutely.
So she is who Amy Robach sat down with.
Got it.
There is a reason why Vivian, they went with GMA and Amy Robach. They did not want Savannah Guthrie doing a legal minded
they didn't
interview.
Want, yeah, they didn't want someone.
She couldn't, she wouldn't. Amy Robach is very good and everything, but she's not going to be.
It's not her wheelhouse.
It's not her wheelhouse.
Right,
so that's
right.
How, that's why she sat down with her. And to me, I mean, Rocco, you watched it too.
Did you learn anything?
Well,
there's a lot of lawyer speak.
There's a lot of lawyer speak, and there's also a lot of, she was so matter of fact and sensible. I can see why Jamie Spears wanted her to speak out, because the one thing she did show was a visit of Britney at her mom's house, and Jamie was there in 2020, and they were like having a, looked like they were having a picnic, or
right,
they were running around in the yard, and you know, they showed video of that sometime in 2020. I don't know.
Is it worth it?
Well, it's only 7 minutes. We got some audio for you, so we've saved you some time. Rocco's done some editing.
I've cut it down a bit, so here's cut one.
Okay. Jamie's attorneys say court documents show that when he stepped in as conservator in 2008, Britney's assets were only worth $2.8 million. They say he worked with his daughter to restore her finances under the conservatorship to nearly $60 million in 2019.
It's a shocking number to know, okay, here's a rock star, a pop star, a young woman who's making $40 million a year, and somehow she only ends up with $2.8 million in the bank. Does Jamie know how that happened?
Britney's assets were clearly being mismanaged, and she was being taken advantage of financially by some of those around her.
How did Jamie turn Britney's finances around so dramatically?
He has collaborated with her. When she is up for performing, she has performed. When she wants to record an album, she can record an album. And when she wants to live her life the way she wants, like a normal person, he has collaborated with her to do that as well.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what she's saying, because Britney has made 4 albums since the conservatorship.
Right, right.
She had a Vegas residency for 5 years. And we do know that she wasn't in the right place, and that there were nefarious people around her, Sam Lufty, that were taking advantage and billing her. Like it seemed like, yep, because we did know that.
But that happens in a lot of people's life. It doesn't mean
2008, but it doesn't happen to people who are that kind of money, that kind of a person. That's the potential of how much you can exploit from somebody with that much money.
But it doesn't, it means your family would help you get a financial planner in there and help you gear it in the right direction. It doesn't mean you take over your daughter's life.
But what she is saying, and what we do remember from that time, she was having
struggling.
A break. She was having
a
damn nervous breakdown. Okay,
that was
a clear thing. Now, what all those reasons were for that, but I mean, she was We were watching it, and it was it became painful for us because we could clearly see.
And they kept filming it and showing it and hounding her and doing all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, we were glad that her dad stepped in. We just had no idea what a conservatorship meant 100%. And all of that. That's what that video or that documentary showed us, is just like, well, A, how awful everybody was about making fun of it. But okay, so, but you can see, hear how very, you know, you can see like she's good at her job.
Yep.
Okay.
In November, her attorney telling a judge, my client has informed me that she is afraid of her father, adding she will not perform again if her father is in charge of her career. Can you explain why Britney's lawyer is saying she doesn't want her dad in charge of her finances anymore? And she's actually saying, at least through her lawyer is saying that Britney says she won't perform anymore until her dad is no longer in charge of her.
That's the best question.
Why would that happen? Why would that statement be made?
Throughout 2020, Britney and her father had many conversations. And in fact, early on in the pandemic, they spent 2 weeks with other family members hunkered down in Louisiana.
They showed that video.
Britney and Jamie went on long drives together. They played and worked in the family garden. And every night, Jamie cooked Southern comfort food that the family ate and enjoyed together. And in that time, Britney never expressed those words to her father. She's never asked him to step aside.
Okay.
So
I love the detail that he cooked a family dinner barbecue. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's an interesting little
but
thing.
But Amy,
that was
a good question because we did know that Britney said, I'm not performing if my dad is in charge.
Yes.
She walked off the stage. She was going to be at the MGM.
So their defense is that she never mentioned it when they were together.
Yeah, and then they showed this video and whatever. And so she's maybe alluding that this is lawyer speak. I don't know. Let's play the next one, Marco.
So is it the belief that this is something her lawyer's saying and that it's not coming from Britney herself?
Jamie loves his daughter. And like any other family, issues come up from time to time. But this in no way takes away from the love and support that they have for each other. Britney knows that her daddy loves her. And she knows that she can call on him anytime, conservatorship or not.
Vivian, it is difficult to understand then why Britney's lawyer actually took it a step further and said that Britney was scared of her father, scared of Jamie. Does Jamie have any idea why that statement would be made?
In the many conversations that Jamie and Britney had throughout 2020, Britney never said those things to Jamie. She never asked him to step aside.
If Britney, through her lawyer, though, is asking that Jamie, her father, not be a part of her conservatorship, why does Jamie then still insist on being her conservator?
Jamie serves as Britney's conservator because he loves her. He wants the best for Britney.
Okay, she sounded like a robot, first of all.
Very kind of robotic. But, I mean, Amy was good. I think so, too.
She kept trying to ask the same question, but why?
But she wouldn't get it. You know, so she wouldn't always answer or whatever. And Jamie loves his daughter, so doesn't address, well, why did the lawyer say she was scared? Who, you know, I don't know what kind of fight.
When did
that
Jamie beat up the kid? I mean,
that was like 2019.
Oh, that was that.
So
before. Okay.
They had made
they've
up.
Made up. Okay.
They've made up over that. But it just sounds like, you know, the daughter and daddy have a very complicated relationship.
100%.
There must have been some kind of big fight, and somebody isn't speaking up, and there's just so much money involved.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't know. But that Vivian Thurene.
Jamie loves his daughter. Britney loves her daddy loves her.
I was like,
in the mini conversations, this never came. She sounded like a robot.
Yeah, it was very robotic.
Yeah.
But anyway, Britney hasn't posted anything today since yesterday, the horns with the bull. And, you know, I'm just going to give Jamie one little thing. Obviously, he doesn't like her boyfriend, Sam.
Yeah.
and he doesn't think he's right for Britney and has the best intentions. That's what I think the beef is really about. I do think Britney would like her dad not to be in that, but I think he's not willing to step aside as long as she's still dating him. That's just my theory on that whole situation. Because he's like 10 years younger than Britney.
Yeah.
And he's 29 and she's 39.
It would be hard not to wonder what the person dating her intentions are. That'd be hard.
Yes.
First of all, any parent would wonder that, you know, you want to pick the right person for your kid. And then, you know, if your kid has $60 million.
Right. I know. So anyway, that was the big interview. And sorry, Amy, you really did do a pretty good job there.
She did.
Yeah. But I just think that Savannah, that's why Vivian was like, no way. Hell no, I'm not talking to the attorney.
She's the best.
All right. Listen, we will be right back. We have Elizabeth Reese today, Rocco?
Yes, we do.
I believe so.
We'll be back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Elizabeth Reese.
Well, hi,
bringing
friends.
Us our Dirt Alert.
Love it. Happy Thursday. Nice to hear your voices
you
today.
Too.
Hey, I've got to start with this Lady Gaga story. I've been following this all day, and I just feel so sad about it.
This is like, it's not a kid, but it's as close to somebody. If you're a dog mom or dad, if you're a kid, it's tragic. It's a dog nap.
And two of these dogs are still missing. It's really terrible. And the dog walker is in critical condition. So let me tell you what happened. Lady Gaga is in Rome, okay? And she has a dog walker named Ryan Fisher, who's
also... And she's
also
filming Gucci, just so you know why she's in Rome.
Yes, she's working.
Uh-huh.
So her dog walker is named Ryan Fisher, and this is a friend of hers as well. And there is new video that TMZ showed that a neighbor released, okay? And you can watch the confrontation between the shooters and Lady Gaga's dog walker happen.
Ryan Fisher.
Yep. So here's what happens. The guy, Ryan, is walking the dogs. There are three French bulldogs, okay? And two men get out of the backseat of a car after it rolls up on him. It's a white sedan. And you hear one of the men cock the gun and say, give it up. Fisher puts up a fight. He's screaming for help and yelling for one of the dogs. Before the gun goes off, a bullet strikes him in the chest.
Jeez.
He falls down to the sidewalk. And then each thief, again, there are two of them, they go into the back seat with one dog per person. The second dog is yelping as it's taken. Oh. You can hear it. And then the third dog left.
Asia got away.
Runs back to Ryan Fisher, the dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the neighbor released this video because Gaga's team wants it to be seen to try to catch the shooter and recover these dogs. Lady Gaga is heartbroken and very upset about this. She's now offering $500,000 for their return, but right now there's no suspect. And Ryan Fisher is in tough shape. I mean, they were saying this morning that he was in the hospital, that he was going to be okay. But now I'm seeing reports all over the place that he's in critical condition.
Oh, stop.
It's
that
terrible.
That is so horrible.
Who kidnaps dogs? Who would stick up with a dog with a knife? Is the black market Frenchie market so big, or was it a targeted? They knew these dogs belonged to Lady Gaga, and has have they demanded a ransom?
So that's the bigger question. And no one has said, as everything I've been following today, it hasn't been clear on if they knew these were Gaga's dogs or not.
Or are they just dumb, degenerate pieces of crap?
Yeah, who are out kidnapping French bulldogs.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Well, there are a lot of those people out there right now.
There are?
I guess the French bulldog trade is, like, big. And then I don't know if they... I mean, if you could... like black market sell that it was Lady Gaga's dog.
That's so terrible.
It's just terrible. And this guy, you know, Ryan Fisher is a good friend of hers. There are lots of photos of him with the dogs.
A lot of pictures of the dogs. And I remember a couple years ago, she dressed up all three of them as Chia Pets for Halloween. It was hysterical.
It's so cute. It's just very, very sad. She set up an email address, kojiandgustav@gmail.com, just to ask for information. So if anybody, and people are emailing in tips, I'm sure. And again, she was offering $500,000 as a reward, no questions asked.
Well, I'd have questions.
Unbelievable. Still unclear if she's planning to fly home because she's preparing to film the movie Gucci. So that's where she is.
Sure, this guy Ryan is a good buddy of hers. I mean, they've been friends for several years, and he's her like main. I mean, he does.
Well, she loves dogs. Like,
he runs an account on Instagram called Valley of the Dogs.
Oh man,
that is so.
I mean, it was 9:40 at night. It's just very terrible. Yeah, it's terrible for anybody to be violated that way, and Elizabeth, to feel like you can't go for a walk. Yeah,
we have not had a dog napping ever that I can recall.
A celebrity dog napping?
No.
No, I can't. I can't either. I can't think of anything.
No, I can't either.
And her dogs are kind of known. I mean, they are kind of well-known dogs. They've made an appearance. They're not as well-known as, like, Karl Lagerfeld's white cat, Choupette.
Yes. But they are, I mean, there's so many cute photos of them. That's really so scary for those poor little sweet things. So I'm hoping that I have better news to share with you tomorrow about this.
Koji and Gustav.
Yep, Koji and Gustav. And the third one... Asia
Miss Asia. Is, Miss Asia.
Made it. Made it. Unbelievable. Oh, I bet Lady Gaga is just feeling sick. Okay, let's talk about other things across the pond. Queen Elizabeth leaning on loved ones amid Prince Philip's hospitalization. This just keeps going on and on.
Have they found out anything new?
No. Let me tell you why they're putting this story out.
Because they're feeling bad that they're such schmoes?
Yes, that they threw the way they screwed up Harry and Meghan so bad. They ran them out of the family and never defended them.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and now they've got this big sit-down interview coming up on March 7th with Oprah. Mm-hmm. Counter-programmed with the events happening for Commonwealth Day
in the UK. Which they moved up.
They moved to Sunday the 7th when Commonwealth Day is actually on a Monday. Who takes a holiday that's not on a weekend and moves it to a weekend?
It's terrible.
The salty white island that wants to try and do everything they can to not acknowledge, and the whole world sees it, that they bullied her, Kate Middleton. I mean, not Kate, but Meghan. I wish she would drop the receipts about just really how awful everybody is, but I know she won't.
Right.
Because they're her son's family.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So she won't, but Meghan is more clear-eyed about all of this.
Yeah.
I think in the interview, she's going to be talking more to Oprah. At least this is what I've read. Whereas Harry, you know, has been in this toxic stew.
Yeah.
His whole life,
and Americans just have a completely different view of the royal family than Brits do. It's just a completely different view.
And they do look down on Americans if you're an aristocrat. And who's more aristocratic than the damn royal family? Nobody. They are a bunch of snobs.
Yeah. Here's what a source says. It's been a rough few weeks for the Queen, that's for sure. The situation with Harry and Meghan has been challenging. And on top of that, she's distraught over her beloved husband's health setback.
Yes, I believe it. Betty got played. Queen Elizabeth,
it's terrible.
She listened to the wrong people, and William wasn't a bigger man, and neither was Prince Charles.
Kristen Stewart, guys, first pictures of her as Diana.
Amazing.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really. She's a chameleon.
She really is. Mm-hmm.
Fun being with you guys.
Oh, Elizabeth, thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
All right. She has a theory.
What?
Well, people have been petitioning the airlines, asking like for not Freedom of Information Act, but asking for give us all you know, like America, because pilots of the skies see things up above the cloud pack, Jules.
Okay.
That's a theory that the pilots know. They see unexplained things. And you know what the pilots union or pilot at any airline, they just say, ask the government. That's their standard thing. Just ask the government.
Is this because a pilot saw a UFO and then no one can explain it the other night?
Yeah, kind of my theory is the pilot code of, you just tell your friends, you know, it's not anything you want to get out there saying a lot of, your company might not appreciate, whatever. It's just like pilots try and not be big mouths about all their UFO sightings. This is my theory, Rocco. Just 100% just thinking like a pilot, having worked at an airline.
Okay.
You know, sometimes not everybody needs to know anything. Sometimes you're not sure with You may have looked. It's like me when I saw the fin. Maybe I saw the fin.
The shark, the yellow shark.
But maybe it was the swimmer.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
That's how fast it happened.
Fair enough.
You know, kind of like, you know, there's a theory that predator and prey, that you can tell what's what by their eyesight. Do you guys know that?
Predator and prey.
A predator and prey.
If you have good eyesight.
Predators will have, their eyes will be close together. And prey, their eyes are always farther apart,
like,
because
a crocodile,
they need to be more
alligator aware.
Like
an alligator, eyes are on the side of the head.
I don't know. I feel you're making this.
I'm not going with any of this.
Rocco, there is a theory that you can tell what is more often, if that animal, like they always call, you know, an alpha predator of the ocean is, you know, sharks.
Okay,
yes.
Fair.
Okay. Maybe a whale could eat them or something, but they're the alpha predator, you know. There's
is there a rhyme or reason?
What I'm just saying, one of them has eyes close together and one of them has.
What does this have to do with the pilots?
Oh, yeah.
Lori, where are we?
Misreading your eyesight is what I'm saying. Pilots do not want to bring attention to anything with their
I'm really. Can you play
I just Googled predator or prey eyes.
You need to just play some music in the background. Wait a minute. Something comes up when you Google
this. Probably came up in the study of Duh.
Right.
Some eyes that face forward on a skull suggest a predator. Forward-facing eyes allow for binocular or stereoscopic vision, which allows an animal to see and judge depth. So.
And that's the predator.
That's the predator.
The one that you got to watch out for.
Animals with eyes on the side of their head would suggest a prey animal because they're looking peripherally, like, ah, who's going to get me?
Right.
So there you go. Lori's right. She had a theory.
All right. Well,
and now, Julia, you were gone, Lori. Julia wanted to start wearing a monocle.
Oh, did she? No.
Yes.
Because that would be so good for your one eye wrinkle.
Oh, God. And you said she's not mean to you.
Wait, what did you just say?
She said the amount of vision would be good for your one eye wrinkle.
And I said you
just told me last week that Lori's not mean to you, and that I thought that was kind of mean.
She's funny.
She's talking about your wrinkles.
That was funny.
No, you would get more
wrinkles on one side of your head, and you'd be lopsided. Would you be a prey?
You'd be lop wrinkled.
Yeah, no, you'd have such a screwed up eye.
I just thought that was funny.
Okay, yeah, good. Well, no, maybe I misread it. I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah,
oh, you don't have to.
You're the prey. There's two of you in there. One's predator, one's prey.
Right. Now that's true.
That's true. I don't know where I got off on that tangent.
I really, because theories are this as
in
general.
Started with the UFOs. American Airlines said direct your interest to the government.
That's what I heard because. Yeah. Someone just saw something, and there was something big in Canada the other night, and it feels like we're seeing a lot more things, flashing lights in the skies. We don't know if they're drones. We don't know what they are.
Who the hell knows? All I know is that the pilots that saw the guy, the jetpack at LAX, that was a story everybody wanted them to tell over and over, because that's like out of a movie. You know, and all of a sudden through the cloud back, there's some.
You can see Jim Carrey flying up saying hi and liar, liar when he went up on the stairs. Remember when the kid was leaving and the wife moving to Boston? He's chasing him. Hi, but he'd be in a jetpack.
Don't you think people that like get, you know, elected or get a top secret clearance?
They all want to know about that.
Yeah. They probably want to look up JFK and aliens.
Well, anything that maybe.
I wish I was more interested in this topic.
I feel like Barack Obama and Bush talked about this, that was the one thing that their friends asked him. Find out everything you can about UFOs and aliens.
You feel like Trump would have done that?
No, he wouldn't have been interested. He wouldn't have cared.
He wouldn't have cared.
That's a theory you can take to the bank. Okay, he would not care about UFOs one bit.
And let's never speak of him again.
Well, I mean, just saying, that's a theory that I think I can take to the bank. Now, here's another theory. This is from, do you think the people that you know that are living or working out of their houses and homes, how many of them want to go back to the office?
Okay. Well, it's interesting. Everyone I know who works here wants to come back. I feel like a lot of salespeople, more social people that I know want to go back into the office.
Mm-hmm.
the collaborative environment, just getting out of their homes and having their home be their home again and getting away. And where two people are working from home, I feel like those households, someone wants to go back to work because they're sick of just being together 24/7.
So what would you say out of the breakdown is 70% of people want to go back to work, 30% want to stay home, 50-50?
I feel like people have found it to be a sweet deal too. Some people, I think it works for them. So I'll say 38% of people want to go back to work.
Want to go back to work. Mm-hmm. What do you think,
I'll
Rocco?
Say 65 want to go back to work.
Rocco is closer to it.
I should say
almost 70% of people do want to get back to their office environment. They miss their buddies. They miss the socialness. But 32% of people want to stay remote forever.
Maybe that was the number I read.
They want to stay remote forever.
Because they bought homes in Montana and all these in Florida and all these remote places already before the real estate prices get even more expensive.
Well, here's the theory. I think it's just going to depend on what your job is and what kind of a person you
are. I think
are.
So, too. I wonder. Yeah.
My sister told me she does not want to go back to work. Right. Her office wants her to come back to work. I think my mom wants her to go back to work because she's been working at home.
I would, too.
But my sister's feet have gotten lazy. She said her boobs have gotten lazy. She doesn't want to
put on a bra and get dressed?
Kind of. She does payroll.
Right.
You know, she just said, you know, I love doing payroll in my slippers.
But I would be like your mom. I'd be like, you know, I'd like it if you left the house so I could be alone in my house for a little while.
Yeah, I know.
I would be like that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's higher than I thought.
It is higher than
I'm glad it's higher because I do know people who like the freedom of, you know, if I want to, you know, instead of working out before I went to the office, I can go work out at 11.
It depends on, I guess, everything about your job and how social you are. I think it does too.
But is it one of those things too where you always want what you don't have? Like maybe people that are going into work kind of are jealous of the people that are staying home?
No, because I think there's always been a thing from the workforce of America, Rocco, if I can just speak on behalf yes. of the workforce of America.
thank goodness. We were wondering if you're going to bring them up.
No, but there's always been a thing like, why do you have to work, like be at the office from 9 to 5, or why can't you work home more often, or why isn't there more flexibility with work as long as you're getting the work done, the numbers are being met, whatever your, you know, goal is, whatever your boss expects from you. What difference does it make how, when, or when that, how it happens, as long as it's happening?
Right.
Because this used to be a big thing for me in corporate America.
And it was for me in sales. Like, I've already made my quota. Why do I have to stay out till Friday afternoon when everyone's done working till 5? We would sit and do nothing. It's like, if you've made your quota, why? But things have changed since we were in that world.
I get that. But there are still some places where people are very tight with the American workers' time. And if anything, you know, people have to show flexibility to people, workers, and not be such a tight, you know, butt about, you know, hours that are work or time off that people might need or trade, you know, that people should be more flexible. Everyone
I think
would be
people
happier.
Should be come out. I think that will come out on the other end because everyone's had to be so flexible. And even the people who were in charge of that probably like the flexibility. Well, I think there's going to be a lot more of that.
You get like an hour and a half back. Like, let's say my wife, she no longer needs to take a half hour to get ready. She no longer needs to drive a half hour each way.
But
you know
what
I mean?
Does she miss the social aspects of going into work, or she really doesn't?
I don't think she does. She could be, you know, she could be an anomaly, but I think she likes it.
Well, maybe ask her and report back to us. But some people,
you know, but I also think, I think it's good for your mental health sometimes to get out and do.
I can't wait for people to come back to work here.
Neither can I. I saw traffic today.
Good.
That just makes me smile.
Yeah.
So people get out of the left lane.
Yeah.
Don't want you to get lazy there because there are more cars on the road. Yeah.
Have you guys been downtown Minneapolis during a work day? It is just a ghost town.
Well, yeah, because there's so many offices. Like Target isn't going to go back downtown until everybody's vaccinated, which they said is probably September or something. But introverts, of course, are going to continue to want to work from home, and maybe they have more. You know, like people will have more opportunity to do it. But when people can get back to work, if you want to go, it'll be great for people who will have to go back to work that don't want to.
I've got one of my kids is already going back into the office.
Yeah. Excited?
Yeah. Very.
Yeah.
Very. Sick of working at the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. One of them is very excited. So, and they're starting the slow comeback, you know. For people who want to come back, they can now.
Is that what they're calling the slow comeback?
I'm just calling that.
Yeah, that's your calling.
I don't know what it's called, but but he's very excited about it.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the made-up crap and real stuff that is...
That was something.
It was a Cobb salad of theories, okay?
Not a chef salad, a Cobb salad.
A Cobb salad. Right. It's a better level than a...
That's right. A Cobb salad is always better.
It is always better. Okay. We'll be right back. Okay. A couple things to look at on the website today.
Yes, Kim.
I did the curation today
of
the charcuterie board called Lori and Julia Page.
You're such a giver. I love it.
Okay, so we're starting with art, Julia. I just have Paris on my mind because watching that show, Call My Agent, set in, Paris.
Yes, it's so fun.
So fun.
Yep.
So this came up, a Vincent Van Gogh painting, you guys, of a Paris street it was painted in 1887. And you know where... Have you both been to Paris?
Yes.
Okay, Montmartre.
Briefly.
Montmartre, where
yes,
the Roulin Rouges and Sacré-Cœur is up there.
The artist corner and everything, yes.
Okay, so this is Montmartre, but it's in 1887 when that part of Paris was really, it's a windmill and wheat fields,
We've saw that all in Moulin Rouge.
Yes, Julia, you're right. And it's called A Street Scene in Montmartre, and it has been owned by a French family for the most of the time since it was painted in 1887, and they are selling the painting. It's only been owned by like two people, and it's going to be, Sotheby's thinks it will sell for $10 million, but we posted it, and...
Very cool.
But I'm like looking at him like, that doesn't look like any Montmartre I've ever been
exactly.
to. But you have to remember time and place in Paris, just like, Bloomington used to be. My friend Jackie says, you wouldn't have believed all the farms that were in Bloomington.
You wouldn't believe all the farms that used to be there when I moved there 15 years ago.
Yes.
So, right, anyway. Rocco?
Yeah, I've been in Woodbury. It was in Woodbury in 1984. I saw all those farms become housing developments.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they said it's an interesting work for Van Gogh because it was, it's not the exuberant works he did in Provence, the sunflowers and, sort of that impressionist. It's sort of a different style. So it's a very exciting art thing that I did. When the hammer goes down, who knows how much it'll sell for.
All right.
Okay. Then the other one.
Sold.
The other one that we have is Rufus, who learned how to tap dance with his mom 9 months ago when all this started.
This is the cutest video out there. How old is Rufus?
Rufus is 9.
Okay.
Or excuse me, he's 8. And they're tap dancing. And she put down, and her name is Lizzie G., and she put down, they tap danced on a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
So people were then...
putting in different floors.
Yes, different things.
Like the Saturday Night Fever floor.
It's from the tap dance that they're doing is a specific one from Singing in the Rain.
Oh, I absolutely love that.
They are so good. They are so perfectly in sync. She's just like in like a, torn up pair of jeans. And they're super casual. They're just in their living room. And it's really cute.
That's really cute.
Okay.
All right.
Campbell is on the cover of a magazine I've never heard of, but she looks amazing.
What's
it's called ID Magazine.
I've heard of that one.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ID.
ID, and she's on the cover.
She looks amazing.
In a headdress, and one eye is winking and one eye is open. That is the only thing I don't care for in the photograph. I don't know if I like the winking eye.
No. Well, Jeff Bezos has one eye that winks.
Yeah, but that's an eye that's stuck that way,
you
Julia.
You think so?
She's winking.
Oh.
I mean, I love to wink. You're a good winker. I love don't you love a wink, though?
Lori!
When somebody winks at you.
Lori loves to wink. You like to wink more than anyone, though.
I know.
Because what was that game you'd play, Dad or Killer or something,
yeah.
and you'd wink at someone? That was a game, like you'd play at a party, and if you'd wink at someone, then you're out.
I don't know.
Rocco, that might date us.
I am not a wink. I can't wink. You know what else I can't do? I can't snap.
Snap your fingers.
Oh. No.
Really?
I think it's...
In our generation, we had a deck of cards, our eyelids and our fingers.
No, but the younger people, do not underestimate when you're getting out there. And when in doubt, wink.
Oh, Lori, I love it.
Wink and smile.
This is really, we've given a lot of help to the younger generation today with all of our knowledge.
The perimenopausal, we're reaching yes. all across the board, the andopausal.
And the song, White Lines, is a good song to get ready to put on mascara and dance.
Let's just listen to it again,
White Lines.
We didn't really get it because we never got to freeze.
Oh, let's see.
That's my friend sent me that. My friend said, freeze.
Maybe someone's putting on mascara right now. Fame with nothing to gain except killing your brain. Right? And I liked that it was just all rhythm and not a lot of talk.
Duran did a cover of this a few years ago and it wasn't so bad.
Oh, really?
It was all right.
It was?
Yeah. Play that sometime. Maybe this could be our Friday sing along.
Oh, Rocco.
Get higher.
Get higher, baby.
Here we go. Get higher, baby.
Free base. Oh. I know. Now we know what he's talking
Rocco,
about.
I never knew at the time what this song was about. It wasn't until
you were
later,
too busy dancing.
Dancing and getting ready. And I mean, I knew what White Lines were, but I didn't associate this song with that.
Ever.
We didn't think anything of it.
Ever.
We just thought it was such a great
100%
party and get ready to go out.
So 100%.
And then if they would play it, you know, at any of the dance places. There used to be so many places to dance.
And she can dance. They're coming back.
The classic car company.
Oh, remember? I had so Minnetonka. Uh-huh. So many fun nights there.
Yeah, Rocco,
and Timothy O'Toole.
Would you say the classic car company?
It was and then on Timothy O'Toole's right next door.
Oh. That was on a Bloomington Strip?
No, it was this on is Excelsior Boulevard.
Oh, off of Highway 100.
Totally. That was kind of a hot spot there for a second.
Big time.
Yeah, for a couple of years. And my girlfriend and I lived over by Cedar Lake, and we would just ride our bikes.
That's the best way to travel sometimes.
Because we knew, and we were like, well, if we meet anybody cute, we can
leave our bikes overnight
at the bar.
Well, there you go. Another flashback story. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone.
Job done. Off you go.